Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. This is Fernando Farias speaking, and together with sound technician Marisa Santillán, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Thursday, November 7, 2024. We'll have news, sports, music, and we'll be sharing a couple of features. One on Carlos Carabajal, a key figure in the history of folk music, the founder of a dynasty, you could call it, a dynasty of folk musicians, the Carabajal family. And Carlos is kind of the forerunner in this group of artists that belong to the Carabajal family. Also, we'll be bringing you something from our archives, something that was recorded back in 2013 with a friend of mine, a colleague, a radio colleague, and a former expat, American expat in Buenos Aires. David Sommerstein lived here for a couple of years, and during his stay, he made it a goal for him and his family to visit all of the notable cafes of Buenos Aires. Cafés notables are cafes of or bars of the city of Buenos Aires that receive a distinction given to them by the city council, recognizing their cultural status, their history, their building, their importance, the gastronomy. Well, these are establishments that have some importance in the history and the culture and identity of the Argentine capital. And David visited them all, over 60 of them. At that time, that the list of notable cafes was expanded since then, but he covered all of the important ones, from Tortoni to Mar Azul, Gato Negro, La Academia. There are so many cafes in this city that is known for them, among other reasons. This is a city of cafes, a place where you can spend a lot of time having a cup of coffee and just seeing the world go by, reading a book. This is part of the identity of this city and is glorified in tango lyrics over and over again. Now, there may be not so many cafes as in the past, and many of them were replaced by modern coffee shops like Starbucks and that kind of stuff, with coffee to go for younger generations. But still, there are many, many cafes in the city, and the most important of them are recognized as cafes notables. So we'll be bringing you this interview with David on the air about him visiting them all. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way, it's okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. This show airs via the shortwaves of WRMI 5850 kHz, and also via internet rai.com.ar or via our app for mobile devices that you can download for free, Digital RAE. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. According to an Argentine news outlet, President Milei will meet Donald Trump in the US ahead of the latter's inauguration. Casa Rosada threatens to close the state-run airlines due to union disputes. The US government backs Argentina in a lawsuit over YPF nationalization. Argentine beef exports rise, but domestic consumption plummets. Ecuador faces blackouts, raising concerns over pollution from diesel generators. Sports: Boca secures first victory under coach Fernando Gago. and these are the news. According to news website InfoAI, Argentine President Javier Milei is set to travel to the US to meet with Donald Trump ahead of his inauguration on January 20. Mr. Milei was one of the first leaders to congratulate Trump on his recent election victory. According to the report, the head of state will visit the American president-elect at his residence in Palm Beach, Florida. The two leaders, let's recall, previously met at a political rally in New York earlier this year when they exchanged compliments. The Argentine government has threatened to shut down the national airline Aerolíneas Argentinas over ongoing union conflicts. As reported by TN News Channel, a senior official stated that unions have until Friday to resolve disputes and resume normal operations. Otherwise, the government may begin proceedings to shut down the airline. The threat follows strikes by pilots and other airline staff demanding higher wages. Tensions escalated this week after a strike by Intercargo workers, the company handling luggage at airports. The direct action left hundreds of passengers stranded at Buenos Aires Aeroparque terminal, with some stuck aboard planes on the runway. Union representatives argued that the strike is in response to the alleged wrongful dismissal of one employee. The US government has voiced support for Argentina in a legal case regarding the nationalization of oil company YPF. The Department of Justice requested that the court refrain from seizing the Argentine company's assets as requested by two investment funds filing the lawsuit. The request was submitted to Judge Lorena Presca of the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of New York. The magistrate is overseeing the case between Buenos Aires and investments funds Burford Capital and Eaton Capital. The funds are seeking $16 billion from Argentine state over the 2012 expropriation of YPF's majority shares. According to the Justice Department, the plaintiff's request violates American sovereignty immunity norms. The Milei administration reports that Argentina's beef exports have reached the highest level in nearly 60 years. Between January and September, almost 700,000 tons were exported, totaling $2.12 billion. The report by the Ministry of the Bureau of Agriculture highlights increased shipments to the United States, Chile, Israel, the European Union, and China. However, domestic consumption continues to decline. According to the SICRA Beef Industry Association, consumption has dropped more than 11% so far this year compared to 2023. Per capita consumption in Argentina has fallen to 46.8 kilograms annually, marking the lowest level in nearly three decades. Ecuador's energy crisis continues, now compounded by concerns over pollution from diesel generators. A study reports that they are significantly increasing carbon monoxide levels in Quito. The study from the University of the Americas indicates that carbon monoxide concentrations have doubled in the capital's air. According to the report, this rise is due to the widespread reliance on diesel generators. The research also warns of a rise in sulfur dioxide emissions. Ecuador, let's recall, has faced an energy crisis since September due to a prolonged drought that is impacting hydroelectric plants. In response, President Daniel Noboa's administration has implemented rolling blackouts, with some outages lasting up to 14 hours, according to Ecuadorian media. And now, sports. Boca Juniors claimed their first win since Fernando Gago took over as head coach, defeating Godoy Cruz 4-1 at home. Meanwhile, River Plate won 3-2 against Instituto in Córdoba. In other matches of the local league, Racing beat Barraca Central 2-0. league leaders. Vélez Sarsfield are set to host Tigre today with a chance to extend their lead as the Professional Football League season nears its final four rounds. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Now we're going to be playing a little bit of Argentine reggae music before putting on the air this interview from our archives with David Sommerstein, American journalist and former expat in Buenos Aires, who visited all of the notable cafes back in 2013 or after a couple of years before his departure in 2013. There are more cafes notables in the city, but that was a very interesting talk about the relevance and the importance and the significance of Buenos Aires cafes. But that will be after some reggae music by this Argentine group called Los Pericos. This was a huge hit back in the early 1990s. Eu vi chegar, I saw nature arriving in Portuguese. Los Pericos on RAE.
Get
And now we have something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, which is having someone on the air, a personal friend of mine, a former resident in Buenos Aires, a colleague, a radio colleague, but also, I mean, the journalistic interest to have David Sommerstein on the air now is that he's the only person that I know who's been to all of the Cafés Notables, the... how do you translate that, David?
The Cafés Notables, historic cafes, let's say.
Historic cafes. I mean, how many are they?
There are currently, unless they've created some new ones, there are 73.
73. Well, it's very good that you left because before you, they added more. I mean, because you wanted to see them all.
Yeah. When we first moved there, we were there for a year, and when we first moved there, there were, I think, 56, and so we were like, no problem.
No problem.
And then midway through, they added another, you know, however many it took to get to 73, and we're like, oh boy, we really got to work extra hard. But we made it to them all.
Well, before we plunge into the Cafés Notables, a quick, in a nutshell, a quick background on yourself. Tell us about you, about yourself a little bit, David, and your connection to Argentina.
Well, I am a reporter for public radio, for National Public Radio in the United States. It's kind of similar to the Radio Nacional in Argentina. And me and my wife and my daughter came to Buenos Aires last year without knowing anybody. I took a year off from work, and we spent the year in Buenos Aires and getting to know people. My daughter went to school there, and I went to a regular neighborhood school and learned Spanish, and we just had a wonderful time experiencing La Vida Porteña.
And how you guys came up with this idea of going to every single Café Notable or historical café of this city?
I think the first month that we moved there, I rented an apartment in San Telmo, in the historic, you know, district just south of downtown. And we were a block away. We lived on Calle Bolívar, and we were just half a block away from Café Poesía, which is one of the Bar Notables. A very beautiful,
yeah, it's,
you know,
very nice.
Lots of wood. It's got a little balcony that's very cute, and just a lovely atmosphere in there. And that's where I sort of first saw on the door a sticker.
A yellow sticker.
Yeah, a yellow sticker that says, this is one of the Bares Notables. And so we went to another one. I think we also went to Café Dorrego, which is right on the main square in San Telmo. And to the Federal, another classic on sort of the tourist tour of San Telmo. And then we realized, wow, there's a whole list of 73. So we looked online and we found out where they all were. And they were just scattered all across the vast city of Buenos Aires. And
yeah,
we decided,
not only in the central area, like the touristic area, you may find Cafés Notables, I don't know, in Villa Pueyrredón.
Yes. Oh, exactly. There's Villa Urquiza, Villa Pueyrredón, Villa Devoto, Monte Castro. There were a lot in Chacaritas, throughout the whole city. So we just thought it was a wonderful idea to just hop on a bus and get to know a barrio by get to know a neighborhood by taking a trip to the Notable, getting just a little cafecito and a little cortado, and just then walking around the neighborhood afterwards.
What do all these places have in common? I mean, how do you become a Café Notable? Do you need to be there for a number of years? Have you any idea about that?
It has to have. We actually spoke with, we had a little interview with the director of the program for the city of Buenos Aires, and it has to have either historic relevance, or it's a real landmark for a neighborhood, or just has that sort of, you know, feel that everybody knows about it and everybody's been there for a long time.
Okay. Well, now why don't you give us your favorite top five?
My favorite top five. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's sort of two top fives. This is the thing. Because there's the ones that maybe more people know about that are very, very, you know, beautiful and wonderful. Of course, like Tortoni, that you know, all the tourists go to. And but it really is very beautiful and full of history. Likewise, in Recoleta La Biela, which is right across the street from the cemetery where everybody goes. Exactly. Very classy. And it's got that beautiful porch under that beautiful tree, huge tree. Also, Las Violetas, I think, is the just if you want one classy, just over the top, great, beautiful, antique Bar Notable experience, you should go to Las Violetas on
Rivadavia. Great pastries there.
Rivadavia Medano. But great. Then... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Great pastries there in Las Violetas. Excellent facturas and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, they have great facturas and they have a really good tea in the afternoon, I believe.
Okay.
And the lines will be, the people are lined up outside on a Saturday afternoon for, you know, for around the block.
Yeah. So, well, what's next?
Well, but then there's the sort of far-flung bares notables, the ones... where if you really want to have a great Porteño experience.
Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah, I know you do that. If you want to go out to, you know, like you said, Villa Pueyrredón or Chacarita or down to another great one is Bar Oviedo, which is right at the Feria de Mataderos.
Yeah. That's kind of famous, yeah.
Very famous. So that sort of goes in the more famous category. Mm-hmm. But really a great place. And they have a great vacío.
Do you say great vacío? Like meat?
Very good parrilla there.
That qualifies not only as a café, but as a parrilla as well.
Yeah. Well, some of the cafés have, you know, full meals. Some of them just have... menú del día. Some of them just have café. It really sort of depends on you know on which one. For example, I think like the sort of deep underground gem of them all is Café de García.
Oh, that's I know that.
Which is way out in Monte Castro, I believe.
Yeah.
And they have on Friday and Saturday nights what's called the picada especial.
Yeah, which is an endless series of little dishes with exquisite stuff that you can stop eating and well when you're done you gain up like 3 extra kilos.
Exactly. You pick up 3 kilos on your way out. It's it's a beautiful the walls are just, you know, filled with old antiques and, you know, decorations. Everything is decorated so meticulously. The waiters are so formal and polite, yet also friendly. And then, you know, the food is, I mean, this is not fancy cuisine. It's like the fancy cuisine of, you know, like 20 or 30, 50 years ago. But it's just such a wonderful experience, and to be there with friends and spend a few hours really enjoying it. That's really, you know, kind of one of the great experiences of the Bares Notables. So Café de García.
Okay, that's
is a wonderful one.
You have any other on that list?
There's a great one that's just really great for going in and having a coffee that many people not know about, but it's right under their noses a little bit, is on Cajao. Right near, right on the sort of main part of Cajao, near Corrientes, is Los Galgos.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And it's just, it's very quiet in there. It's, has beautiful wood.
The waiters are like 200 years old.
Oh, yeah. No, they're absolutely 200 years old. They seem like they've been there forever, and I'm sure they could tell you, you know, every story that's ever happened in the place.
Yeah, or in the city, maybe.
Yeah, and it's just a great place. It's got a great window. There are some good window seats to just look out on the bustle of Cajao on a, you know, busy summer day and just watch people coming and going. So that really is, that's a really great one. Oh, here's another great gem that I was surprised about is Café Palacio.
This is one I don't know.
Okay, so I'm teaching you this one, Fer.
You've been to 73, and it's just that all of the ones you mentioned, I've been to at least once, but this one I've never been to.
Okay, so Café Palacio is right by the Federico Lacroce train station in Chacarita, and you go in, and it just seems like it's a regular café. But then you walk in and there are thousands of cameras, old historic cameras. I mean, there has to be 2,000 of them. Different kind of cameras, like almost sort of, the prototypes of video cameras. Mm-hmm. And they're all just all, I mean, the cafe is just packed with cameras. And in fact, they have classes. They have photography classes there in the basement of the cafe. And that's just, it's a museum as well, a museum to photography. And it really takes your breath away when you walk in.
I've never been to that place, but I've seen it from the bus. And I mean, you can't miss it. It's so evident that it's something special there.
Yeah. It has a, I think there's a sort of mannequin, man on the front.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Hey, David, how about doing a second part of this later on with another set of Cafés Notables? What do you think?
That sounds great. I'd love to.
Well, David, it's pretty hot up there, I suppose.
Oh, it's very cold. We have 2 meters of snow here.
Well, in here, it's been like 30 degrees for the past, 30 Celsius for the past, I don't know, 4 days. Yeah.
Well, we're wishing for some heat in summer, and I'm sure you're wishing for a little cool.
A little cold will be nice. Thank you very much, David. This was lovely.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
That was David Sommerstein, a radio journalist in North Country Public Radio in Buffalo, the United States, talking about the Cafés Notables. He lived in Buenos Aires for a time with his family for a year, and he's been to all of the 73 historical cafes of Buenos Aires. That's an official title that is granted by the city government.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina 面向世界.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けて Argentin.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE Argentina al mondo.
RAE Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE Argentina al mondo.
Place to play. You said that you've never been, but all the
What a great, great song. Written and sung, in this case, by Noel Gallagher, not by Liam, who's usually the lead singer of Oasis. Don't Look Back in Anger, a track that we are playing on the occasion of the confirmation of the reunited Oasis visiting Argentina. Next year, in roughly a year from now, they will be given two concerts. For now, maybe they will be adding more. At River Plate Stadium in Buenos Aires City on November 15 and 16. Loads of people all over the world and certainly here in Argentina are very excited about the news. RAE, Argentina to the World, presents Carlos Carabajal, the father of Chacarera. In Argentina's northwest, about 1,000 kilometers from Buenos Aires City, there's the province of Santiago del Estero, a vast plain where Spaniards founded the first city in what would become our nation. It was in 1553, in a territory occupied until then by various native communities that worked on farming, pottery, and knitting. From the fusion of native and Spanish traditions, and later those of African slaves, comes the chacarera, one of the most popular folk genres in our country. That convergence enabled the development of chacarera in the Argentine Northwest, and that is explained here by musician Juan Quintero. In the 18th century, Spanish conquistadors brought African slaves from Peru to work in the construction of the city of Santiago. The territory of Santiago del Estero became a border zone where conquistadors, native Argentines, and many Africans coexisted. And it's there, in Santiago del Estero, where Carlos Carabajal, the father of Chacarera, is born in 1929. Carlos Carabajal comes from a family entirely devoted to music. Brothers, sisters, children, nephews and nieces and grandchildren are all into folk. The most famous in the family are his brother Cuti, his son Peteco, and his granddaughter Roxana. Carlos was not entirely literate, but he learned how to play the guitar by himself. At the age of 16, he was already performing in dances of his city, and it's around that time that he became friends with one of the members of the famous folk group the Díaz Brothers, Hermanos Díaz. It's with them that Carlos Carabajal writes his first creation at the age of 18, when he puts lyrics to the music of La Finadita, The Dead Woman. This is how he remembers his first professional step that later would become his first hit. I used to be friends with Cachilo Díaz of the Díaz Brothers, and one day I asked him whether La Finadita had any lyrics. He answered, asking me to make some. And after much thought, I was able to write the lyrics. Peteco recorded it, Cafrune also, but I never registered it. And here it is, recorded many years later by Don Carlos, accompanied here by various members of his big family.
Por medio los montes vengo lleno de encanto y dulzura, rogando por los que sufren de tormentos y amarguras. Me llaman la finadita porque nací en Camposanto, porque nací entre los muertos, entre tristezas y llantos. Finadita, finadita, alabanza sollozada, quisiera soñarme muerto para sentirte cantada. La la la, la 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 la. Quisiera soñarme muerto para sentirte cantada. Cantores viejos me entonan con la más santa emoción, rogando a Dios que no sufran los que merecen perdón. Canto soy cadencia, soy suave perfume de flor, consuelo en que se consuelan las almas de su dolor.
Around the mid-1950s, Carabajal joins the group Los Manceros Santiagueños that he left in 1965 when he began performing with his own family. And in 1971, he launches his solo career. Together with his artistic work, Don Carlos had to work on various things to feed his family. He was a builder, he worked in meatpacking plants, he worked in the port of Buenos Aires as well. Speaking of Buenos Aires, he arrived in the capital in 1956 with his brothers, searching for success. Nonetheless, 2 years later, he goes back to Santiago del Estero.
Añoranzas de la banda, a Chalita y qué hermosura, papá. anoche pasado, soñando de que volvía a empacharme de zapallo, tuna fresquita y sandía. Los domingos de mi pago, Dios quiera que no se pierdan. Aquí le mando un suspiro pa' mi tierra santiagueña.
Chacarera is an up-tempo type of dance for couples. It is often played with guitars, bass drums, and violins. It's a very popular instrument, by the way, the violin, in Santiago del Estero. Carlos Carabajal shone as a guitarist, and many assure he was a true master of the strumming technique that is so typical of the genre, therefore the nickname of Chacarera's father.
Corazón del monte, vengo a cantar chacarera, picando fuerte el bombo, levantando polvareda. Tocando soy sencillito, les canto de cuando en cuando, y de balde me hago el sordo cuando me están alabando. Saltaron las ushutas a un viejito zapateando, los tobillos a la bulla, igual siguió mudanciando.
¡Ay, no más!
Un rico santiagueño, en mi pobreza yo tengo, para alegrar las almas de la Salamanca vengo. Venir golpeando cerca de Monte Quemado, al diablo montado en burro por la costa del Salao. Una vieja en Clodomira empanada estaba horneando, sin querer pisó una brasa y se largó zapateando. Se comió tuna con queso, no le haga ningún reproche. Se metió pa' medio el monte, no volvió toda la noche.
¡Cabo!
Santiagueño, en mi pobreza yo tengo, para alegrar las almas de la Salamanca vengo.
Just like Don Carlos, who was a proficient guitarist, his son Peteco is also a brilliant musician who writes, sings, and plays guitar, and is a very talented violinist. Together with Peteco, who also began his career in music since a very young age, Don Carlos wrote many of his most popular songs, like the following Chacarera tune.
¡Gracias!
Carlos Carabajal did not only write chacareras, he was also the writer of many beautiful escondidos and zambas, which are other folk musical genres. Let's hear what he said about his own songwriting work. Everybody knows I write songs in bed. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 in the morning. I wake up and it's like God talking to me. It's like God putting a finger in my forehead and waking me up to start writing. Carlos Carabajal defined chacarera like a product of the soul of Santiagueños. To him, chacarera was the most beautiful attraction of the heart of Santiagueños.
Cebado.
Y la flor de la humildad suele su rancho perfumar. La vida te han prestado y tengo que devolverla.
Cuando el creador me llame para la entrega,
que mi hueso tiene mi sal, la pone en mi suelo natal.
Passion for this genre took Carlos and his brother Agustín, who was also a musician, to create the National Chacarera Festival that takes place every January in the city of Santiago del Estero. Every edition of the festival has members of the Carabajal family taking part. And despite all this work for chacarera, he never liked the title of the father of chacarera. Somebody once called me chacarera's father, and I feel a little ashamed when there are musicians such as the Diaz brothers, the Ábalos brothers, Miguel Simón, and many others. But I can't get rid of this nickname. Carlos Carabajal died in the year 2006 in the city of Santiago del Estero. Songs are still part of the set lists of most Argentine folk musicians that never stop presenting new versions of his works. RAE, Argentina to the World, presented Carlos Carabajal, the father of Chacarera. Presented by Fernando Farias. Produced by Julieta Galván. Edited by Esteban Villarroel.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
What's missing on today's playlist? Tango, of course. We can't have a show without a single track of tango. And I just picked this one because I love this song. I love this song. I love to introduce this song. And I love to explain the story behind it. And I think I haven't done it this year. So, there it goes. You know, in tango, the tango used to be very machista, you know, originally, you know, but you, as I usually say, you can't completely judge and analyze past eras and past ages with today's mentality. You know, you have to put everything into context. Obviously, the things said by tango today are unacceptable, but 80 years ago, they were the status quo, so you can't really judge or criticize that fully. That being said, well, this is a common thing in tango, that women are to be blamed for everything. And the men are just the victims of everything, not just the women, but the world, bad luck, and all of the tragedies that happen to a person. Usually happen not because of his doing, but because of things that happen to him from outside. And tango characters, they usually have this journey in which they are young and innocent, and they live in the neighborhood and with their family and with their mother. And at a moment, they come of age and they go to the city center and they become streetwise and they fall in love and they become brave, but they lose this innocence. And whereas they become wise, they also become sad and disappointed with everything, and disillusioned with life and the world. And at the end of that journey, at the end of several years of setbacks and disappointments and being betrayed by women, by friends, and failing over and over again, where do you go back to? To the place where you come from. You go back to your mother's house, looking for shelter, looking for comfort, looking for love. Yes. This is so common in so many tango stories, but there is one that is the most symbolic of all in this regard, in this theme of tango, which is La Casita de Mis Viejos, my folks' house, my folks' home. I'm coming back and I'm not recognized by the people living there, only by my mother, who, with teary eyes, say, why did it take so long for you to come back? Women are always responsible for killing love, says the song. And a mother is the only one who understands it all, who forgives it all. That is the only truth, and everything else is a lie. La Casita de Mis Viejos. This is the rendition of Osvaldo Fresedo and singer Héctor Pacheco.
La barrio tranquilo de mi ayer, como un triste atardecer, a tu esquina vuelvo viejo. Vuelvo más viejo, la vida me ha cambiado, en mis cabellos plata de años me ha dejado. Yo fui viajero del dolor y en mi andar de soñador comprendí mi mal de vida. Y cada vez solo borré con una copa, las mujeres siempre son las que matan la ilusión. Vuelvo vencido a la casita de mis viejos, cada cosa es un recuerdo que se agita en mi memoria. Los 20 abriles me llevaron lejos, locuras juveniles, la falta de consejos. Hay en la casa un hondo y cruel silencio huraño, y al golpear como un extraño me recibe el viejo criado. Habré cambiado totalmente que el anciano por la voz apenas me reconoció. Hay en la casa un hondo y cruel silencio huraño, y al golpear como un extraño me recibe el viejo criado. Habré cambiado totalmente que el anciano por la voz apenas me reconoció.
Before signing off, let's go over the headlines again. According to an Argentine news outlet, President Milei will meet Donald Trump in the US ahead of his inauguration. Casa Rosada threatens to close the state airline due to union disputes. US government backs Argentina in a lawsuit over YPF nationalization. Argentine beef exports rise, but domestic consumption plummets. Ecuador faces blackouts, raising concerns over pollution from diesel generators. Sports: Boca secures first victory under coach Fernando Gago. And this way we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, for Thursday, November 7, 2024. Our sound technician was Marisa Santillán, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Hope you enjoy the show. Join us tomorrow for another one. Hasta mañana.